Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotion. Today's chapter is Acts chapter 5, and I want to encourage you to open up your Bible or your Bible app and follow along with me. This is Acts chapter 5. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them, but a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan of this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Amen. Amen. So today I want to focus on the first portion of chapter 5, and I encourage you to spend more time kind of just reflecting on the rest of chapter 5. But today we'll be focusing on the story of Ananias and Sapphira and focusing on the temptation to appear more than we really are. In the beginning of chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property, and what was their sin? They lied to God. But it's important to understand that Ananias and his wife had the right to keep all of the proceeds from their land, since the land and the money was theirs. No one was telling them or commanding them to give 100% of the proceeds, but they chose to give the money with the outward appearance of giving 100%. And as Peter says, they were lying to God. So far in the book of Acts, we've seen the Holy Spirit come upon believers which formed the early church, and this is the context in which all of this is happening, in community. And Ananias and Sapphira, they most likely fell into the temptation of comparison or envy with regards to others in the community, like Barnabas. They wanted to enhance their reputation or appear more holy or more righteous. They may have desired attention from the community, wanting people to come to them saying, great job for giving all the proceeds of selling your property to the Lord. Now, here's the natural follow-up question that I think we might be asking ourselves. Why did God punish Ananias and Sapphira so severely? And what might their punishment tell us about God and his church today? This is such a hard question to answer. Many won't understand why their punishment was so severe and why punishment was even warranted at all. Couldn't they have gone by with just a warning? But here's what I think is going on. Christ takes it very personally when his church is mistreated. Ananias and Sapphira's punishment for treating the church with contempt reflects the value with which the risen Christ holds his church. In Acts 9, verse 4, God tells Saul, who later becomes Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" as Saul was persecuting the church. And so Christ takes it very personally when his church is mistreated. Having said all of that, the severity of Ananias and Sapphira's punishment is likely related to this moment in time of the early church. How God decides to exact this type of punishment is kind of beyond our understanding, but likely God wanted to protect the sanctity of the church at this point. He doesn't seem to act this way now, and for that we should be grateful. But those days were different. You see, they were the formative days of the church. Up until that time, there had been no such crass exhibition of fleshliness and sinfulness, and God loathed the day that it would permeate the church. From the very outset, he wanted it known how strongly he feels about hypocrisy, and he wanted it known for all time, and that is why he put it into this account, into his word. As we continue in this faith journey, there may be times, or there will be times, when we're tempted to be like Ananias and Sapphira, especially in community. How easy it is to fall into hypocrisy, pretending to be more pious, more holy than we actually are. And yet God calls us to come into his presence not with the facade of righteousness, but to come as we are, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. If you've been part of our Symphony Church community for a while, you know that our community is not perfect, and it will not be perfect. It's nearly impossible to be in community and not be selfish or seek approval from others. But we're called to live in this tension, and I believe that being in community and wrestling with our hearts is part of God's sanctifying work on us. And so my hope for us, Symphony Church, that we would continue to be in community and also seek the Lord with open, vulnerable, humble hearts, ready to receive all that God wants to do, that we would be honest before the Lord and before one another. As we start small groups, our family groups, microchurches. Let's strive to do this in our community well. Not trying to put up a facade of righteousness, but honest and humble and vulnerable before the Lord and one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, this is a tough passage to chew on. As we read about the account of Ananias and Sapphira, Lord, we are, on one hand, I think, troubled. We're like, wow, we're not too far off from Ananias and Sapphira. But by your grace, by your mercy, I pray, Lord, that you would sanctify us by your truth. You would grow us, Lord, into the likeness of Christ, and you would help us to not lie to you and not pretend like we are one thing, and in reality, we are actually giving something less. Help us not to pretend. Help us to come as we are, and we want to continue to live in a manner that is holy and pleasing in your eyes. We thank you for the help of your Holy Spirit and for the grace and the mercy that you pour out upon us. Thank you, Lord, for this community that you give to us as well. We thank you and pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us in our daily devotion, and hope that you can continue to join us next week. But with that, have a great weekend.